Greetings and good morning, Western Colorado. Thanks so much for listening to KVNF, Mountain Grown Community Radio. It's 8 o'clock, and here's your local newscast for Thursday, May 23rd. Anyone familiar with Paonia knows that the streets are in bad shape, especially one four-block stretch on 3rd Street between Grand Avenue and the Public Library. KVNF's Marty Derlin talked to Paonia Mayor Neil Schwederman.
It's not only the streets that are bumpy in Paonia. The last year has been an up-and-down ride for Paonia's mayor. From the BLM's decision to offer and then withdraw lease parcels in the North Fork, to the guilty plea entered by the town's former employee for embezzling some $400,000 from the public coffers, there has been no shortage of drama. But what about the streets?
3rd Street is torn up because there was a very old sewer line under it. And that sewer line at some point in time sagged. And when it sagged, it was clay. It broke. And then it was scoured out. So we actually had several sections of scoured out where there was no sewer line. That's an emergency fix, and it is repaired. It was identified in December, and it's completely repaired now. The street above it is another story. The story about streets, and this is affecting everybody across the country, is that the cost has gone up to repair and pave streets, while the recession has income flat or negative. And those curves actually started separating a long time ago, about when our library was built. So almost 5 years ago, there was a spike in construction costs, particularly the asphalt, petrochemical end things, and never went back to its old norm, where we used to be able to afford to pave three streets a year, three blocks of street. Now we can't even afford to pave one block with the same amount of money.
In the old days, before Paonia's streets were paved at all, the town's water truck sprayed twice a day to keep the dust down. But there are better uses for our water, and other solutions have to be considered.
One option is to cut square sides and patch it. A second one is to prep it and repave the whole street for that portion. That bit is in, and it's exorbitant. And the third option is to cut out the remaining asphalt and concrete it. Asphalt has a life expectancy in Colorado, where we are at our elevation, of 8 to 10 years, usually more on the 8 side.
Mm-hmm.
And so concrete lasts 25 or 30. And the stretches of 2nd Street that we have that are concreted are at 28 years and still going strong.
Then there are the sidewalks, many cracked and heaving, some dangerous. Several years ago, the town asked residents whether they were willing to spend $3 more per household per month for a sidewalk fund. Voters said no.
It didn't pass, nor did any tax or fee increase in the entire state of Colorado, because nobody had the money. Council took a stand and, well, let's back off of that. The citizens voted. They didn't want to do it. But those routes continue getting bigger, and the cliffs on our sidewalks continue to become worse. So it's grown to a much more egregious safety situation. So the current council last week directed staff to start addressing the worst situation sidewalks.
The town's entire infrastructure is especially vulnerable and complicated because of the characteristics of its soil and geology.
The town of Paonia sits on the alluvial area from the North Fork River, and so the soils are less than perfect, and they expand and contract as they become wet and dry, and water tables move up and down. In fact, our town park is there because it was untenable for housing. They actually added top fill and put in all those wonderful trees because the water table was so close to the surface. So they made it. Made a really nice lemonade out of those lemons. But that same situation happens all around town. Our sewer treatment facility is further down valley, and the sewer system has to then deliver sewage under the river. And so when you're near the river, the sewer pipes are about 23 feet deep. And so that's an expensive thing.
These are the predicaments facing Paonia's six town council members, says Schwederman.
There is no right or wrong. You just have to make your best guess as to what will be have the most long-term benefit for the greatest number of people and is the most cost-effective.
The final outcome of Paonia's financial loss isn't yet decided. The former employee will be sentenced June 24th, and then the town will file for the insurance. But it could be capped at $150,000, well short of the amount stolen.
Very, very unfortunate circumstance. It just is. But the fact is that well before I was ever here and you were ever here, the community leaders were quite thrifty. And we have a pretty decent reserve. And starting this year, we had a reserve of of over a year of funding. So that is exceptional. General accounting principles say you have at least 3 months reserve. So we have more than four times that. Where that's going to get eaten up is in street repairs.
For KVNF News, Riding the Bumpy Roads, I'm Marty Derlin.
Researchers say Thailand is showing the world how to respond to the global food crisis by raising bugs for eating. The Associated Press reports that a United Nations report released on Tuesday focuses on six-legged livestock. Edible bugs and worms that can help meet global food demand expected to grow 60%. By 2050. The UN's Food and Agricultural Organization says that bugs provide a rich source of protein, vitamins, and minerals. The study was conducted in Thailand, where insects, including crickets, grasshoppers, and bamboo worms, have long been a part of diets, especially in rural areas. Entomologist Yupa Hanbunsong says there are about 200 insect species are eaten in Thailand. Cricket farming alone is already a $30 million industry in the country, but only a few other species have been commercially marketed. The Telluride Daily Planet reports that a local realtor will illustrate the concept of using local sustainable agriculture to reduce our carbon footprint by taking Mountain Films Moving Mountains Symposium attendees on a 2,400-mile journey. Water flows from the high alpine Blue Lake down to Telluride and the San Miguel River, which snakes down valley along Highway 145, eventually merging with the Dolores River. The Dolores flows into the Colorado River, which continues its route through the arid west to Southern California's sunny Imperial Valley, where it is used to irrigate farmland that grows much of the country's produce. Some of the alfalfa, lettuce, beets, and carrots that are grown there are then trucked the roughly 800 miles back to Telluride grocery stores. But what if that water from Blue Lake could be used for agriculture in the Box Canyon, bypassing the journey to California and back, as well as the fossil fuels used along the way? Steve Cisich will unveil his conceptual plan for Telluride Grown, an ambitious project for a series of greenhouses and local distribution of the produce grown there, at Friday's Moving Mountains Symposium. His presentation is scheduled for the afternoon session. According to Telluride Grown, imported food is responsible for up to 20% of our total greenhouse gas emissions. When the project is at full capacity, it could churn out 170,000 pounds of organic produce in a year, feeding 400 people in Telluride three meals a day, Cisich said. He hopes the nonprofit can be a model for other rural, isolated resort communities. In addition to local speakers, environmental activists Tim DeChristopher and Bill McKibben, Harvard scientist Daniel Nasara, and journalist John Hockenberry will speak about finding climate solutions. The Moving Mountains Symposium is a day of passionate discussions by innovators that is the traditional kickoff to the Adventure and Environmental Film Fest. Mountain Film director David Holbrook said the symposium will also include a few surprises. The conference center is usually filled to capacity for the popular event, and Holbrook encourages attendees to arrive early if they want a good seat and a lunch, of which there are only 500. Climate change is such a daunting and all-encompassing issue, an entire week of symposiums devoted to solutions would not be enough, said Holbrook. KVNF youth reporter Azure Eller caught up with some of the members of the Paonia track team to talk to them about their big win at state last week. Here is his report.
Last weekend, the Paonia High School girls track team won state for the first time in history. High school students Travis Voigt and Michael Wellmore interviewed two of the Paonia track girls about the state win.
Talking to Taylor Plymel here of the Paonia Eagles track team. Are you proud of your team?
Yeah, I'm really proud of my team. I think we did really well this year at state, and it was pretty exciting to get a state championship.
Who were your coaches?
We had Coach Mitchum was our mid-long coach. Coach McCray was our jumping. And then we had Rinks for a throwing coach. And they just all kind of supported us.
Did they push you hard?
Yeah, Mitchum especially pushed our relay teams really hard. And Rinks and McCray were really there for support. And Coach Carney just all kind of pushed us.
Michael Wilmore interviewed track team member Morgan Hardigan.
Did they push you hard?
Yeah, fairly hard. I broke the school record in shot put, so...
Do you think your team can win state next year?
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
I think we have a really good chance next year. We only lost three seniors, and we have a bunch of incoming freshmen, and we have a lot of potential, so yeah, I do.
This is Azure Eller for KVNF.
And that concludes your daily newscast for Thursday. I'm Eric Gould for Mountain Grown Community Radio, KVNF. Have a great day, everybody, and thanks so much for listening.